Thanksgiving. I know I am thankful for literally any second these days that I can spend playing video games because life is so crazy at the turning of the new sports. It seems like fall for people at university and just in life kind of is where the new year begins. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like summer,
new
just
school
feel,
year,
new hockey season,
new hockey season, new video games coming out.
Yeah, exactly. So they kind of take a lull.
Yeah,
your big ones come out at the beginning of summer, and then the summer break, and then fall is where it starts to pick up again. So yeah. I'm kind of in the middle of all of that, and time is an absolute premium these days, which we'll kind of touch on that in a second. But I am, of course, your host Simon Pazdor, joined by my faithful squad mate Adam Pazdor. Matt is no doubt enjoying his family. Not literally like eating his family, but he's enjoying company. He's enjoying the company of his family, no doubt, on Halloween. Especially because he was
Halloween.
Going, Halloween. He's not doing that on Halloween, but on Thanksgiving, he's enjoying the company of his family and probably a lot of turkey and ham and stuffing and potatoes and stuff like that. So, power to him. We made the executive decision to enjoy that yesterday.
Yeah.
And so today we are full still. And ready to power through. So you have a game over power hour. That's right. There's no TV talkers today. One full hour of game over. And we have a lot of stuff to cover. A lot of little topics to cover. Including something that it's deeply personal to both of us. I think a particular game leak reveal thing that is of particular interest. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, some housekeeping. First of all, as usual, the standard call to like us on Facebook, Game Over UMFM. Like us on Facebook. You could message us if you feel like there's a game that we haven't covered that you want us to cover. If you have some feedback, we've had some people do that to us, and I really appreciate all feedback we get. Love audience interaction. Also, in just a few weeks, I think it's actually 2 weeks. It's very soon.
It's very soon.
We have Pledgerhammer. Pledgerhammer Body Slam. As a matter of fact, it might even be happening next week.
Is it that soon?
I think it might just be that soon. So, but Pledgerama is the yearly, I think it is next week, the yearly call for all people to give us money. Because we are a community radio station, so we do have some ads, but we do run a large majority of what we do is off donations, and a large majority of those donations come around this time of year, Pledgerama. So we'll have more details for you next week, and of course, check out our website. By the way, what we raised money for last year, chiefly, is a new website, and feel free to go check it out. Go check out umfm.com. The new website is up. It is live. It is tremendous. It is a lot better than the old one. And it's so much better that they actually discontinued the app. So if you have the app, don't use it. You don't need it. You don't need another thing. That just takes up space in your phone.
Yeah.
And we're about economy here. So get rid of that. Delete it off your phone. I don't think it even works. It's unsupported.
Just use the website.
Just use the website. The website's great. So that's what you put your money to last week. We're also still digitizing the huge amount of content we have here. And we're trying to spread out, have little kiosks, not necessarily kiosks, but we're trying to spread out university radio to more of the university.
Yeah.
Which I know a wild and crazy concept that people at universities should listen to university radio, but there it is. So we're going to be calling for that next week. We will have prizes, so stay tuned to our Facebook page and to us live next week. We are going to have prizes, but of course, if you donate to any show, you will get a plethora of prizes. And if you donate specifically to Game Over, we're going to give you a Steam gift card.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty good.
And a spot on the show if you want it.
And a spot on the show. So that's probably those are going to be our incentives again. So I was going to reveal. But you know what? We may as well hype it up.
Yeah.
So if you donate, I believe last year, we're probably going to keep the same way we did last year. If you donate $20, no, $30, we'll give you a Steam gift card for $20. So basically, you're only donating $10. Yeah. And you get all the other incentives, too. And you, of course, donate to the show. It's fantastic. If you donate $50, you get a Steam gift card. And we will give you a spot on our show. So you can come in and you can say, hey, I like Final Fantasy. And you guys never talk about it.
Yeah.
And so you can yell at us and tell us how much you love Final Fantasy, if you want to. I'm just taking a shot in the dark. Maybe it's Call of Duty. Maybe it's one of these other giant franchises that we've never talked about for whatever reason. World of Warcraft, sure. Maybe it's maybe you just really want to go down here and scream at us about Undertale.
yeah.
Whatever you want to do, if you donate, we'll keep an eye on the Facebook page. We'll actually donate the amounts. Don't quote me on what I just said, even though it's now
quotable.
So those amounts are not set. We're going to have to look through it and make sure that everything makes sense. But that's going to be us. You can actually come on here and talk with us. And then if you don't even more than that, you can come on here and talk with us and game with us if you want to. So maybe you want to play Dark Souls with somebody. Maybe you want to play Rocket League with somebody. Maybe you want to play, who knows. But we'll set up a little Discord server and we'll actually let you play games with us if you want to. And then the truth of it is we suck. So you'd probably beat us at whatever the game of your choice is.
You very much let the cat out of the bag there.
Yeah, I didn't want to, but we do. We're better at talking than we are at playing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a lot of housekeeping. So there are a few little bits and bobbles of news. I'm going to leave a kind of talky point for the end. We'll see if we need it. But the first thing is that it was announced, or at least rumored, that next year there is going to be a new Nintendo Switch. As in, not as in like a, you know, Nintendo Switch Plus, actually literally Nintendo Switch Plus, but not as like the next Nintendo Switch. Not Nintendo Switch 2, but Nintendo Switch 1.5. I'm not sure what else they're going to put in there. Perhaps they have fixed the fact that you need a kickstand to play the thing properly.
Yep. That would be on the first thing on my list of things to fix, is how I charge the thing.
How they charge the thing. So, are you one of those people who's just a late adopter and you're waiting desperately to get the Nintendo Switch 1.5, or
no?
This doesn't move the meter at all for you on the Nintendo
Switch? Well, because I think I'm now past the point in my life where I'll ever get excited about hardware again.
Mm.
So, for me, does it have a game that's exclusively on it that I want to play?
Yeah.
And until the answer is yes, I don't really care what it does, because a game console is a vehicle for me to play games on.
Yeah, since you've been able to play Breath of the Wild, and you'll be able to play Super Smash Bros. On my Switch, you kind of have that advantage.
Yeah. And it's like, now I've played through Breath of the Wild, and I put down the Switch, and I haven't thought about it since. So
yeah, It had a few people, Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, where I think, Super Mario Odyssey, I have to clarify.
Oh, yeah.
Were console sellers. They were the killer app, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think I could use another one. And especially if they're going to have this, so that might be the new Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Because you're getting a Pokemon game. What's Pokemon Let's Go on? Switch?
That's a good question. I think it's...
How do you plan to play Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu?
That'll be a little tricky.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one for you. You're going to have to just borrow mine, you think?
Yeah. Well...
we'll see how that goes.
We managed it with Breath of the Wild.
How do we not think about this until just now?
Whoops.
That's a huge mistake. Okay, so we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But yeah, you might need to get a Switch. I think Pokemon. I think they'll probably announce Switch and Pokemon relatively close together.
See, I don't think it's Let's Go Eevee that's going to sell it on me, but the next one might.
That's what I'm talking about, Stars or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Generation 8, whatever we want to call it. That's probably going to be the one. I agree. So there's also a little... I mean, this has been bubbling around for a while now, but it seems to be gaining a lot of traction. People have, they think, decoded the screenshot in the most recent Super Smash Bros. Trailer.
Oh, really?
And there was a blurred-out green mode, which people are believing is Spirit's mode. This is the theory. So... I'll elaborate a little bit. In a lot of the trailers, characters died. Like, it didn't go well for a lot of characters in these trailers. If you remember, like, Luigi in particular got killed by the Grim Reaper.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And people are thinking, you know, they've tried to de-blur what's on the main screen. And the current running theory is that it says Spirits. And so that would be their single-player campaign would be called Spirits Mode. Would be the new Subspace Emissary. Because that's the one thing that they haven't really announced. They have brought everything else back, but what's the big single-player thing that you have?
Yeah. Where's the adventure mode?
Yeah. So the theory is that it might be called Spirits, and it might be dealing with the fact that some of these characters are dead, or, you know, who knows. And that maybe all these trailers have secretly been story trailers for Spirits mode.
Yeah, maybe.
How does that make you feel, a single-player mode in this game?
I mean, that's kind of what I watch every game for.
Yeah.
So that, like... even the existence of one increases its value for me. So, because I will probably play... I mean, I'll play through it once at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched like a couple like theory videos on it. I'm not totally sold. I'm like 60-40 on that being it. But I think there's going to be some sort of single-player thing, and I welcome it.
Yeah.
But whatever it is. I mean, Subspace Emissary had a lot of problems like going back to it.
Yeah.
But it was... it did something so new and so different that the fact that they just recycled generic enemies wasn't so bad.
And it was there.
And it was there. And, like, yeah. I really liked watching all those, like, videos.
Yeah, they were cool.
Like, the little CGI videos that they make for their single-player content is awesome.
Yeah,
love it.
Great.
Okay, so there is that. Now, in just a few weeks, it's funny, we're gonna kind of move into the two bulks of the show. In a couple weeks, currently we're playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. We're both very early. Yeah. I'm very early, and you're very early. with capitalized and italics.
Yeah.
Mine's just regular lowercase. But before that, that's what we're playing this week, and soon coming out is Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption 2 had their new gameplay trailer come out a few days ago. I don't know if you've watched it. I don't know if people out there have watched it. It'll kind of look, I don't want to say more of the same in a bad way, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I expected to see. Yeah. And boy, it looked good. So, you know, I don't think, I'm not going to win you over. Anyone out there, I think you've already decided on Red Dead. Either you're unbelievably excited for it, or for whatever reason, it's going to pass you by.
Yeah.
But I did find it kind of funny, like all the memes of people, reviewers talking about Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and they were like, this is the best open world game since The Witcher. And then people were just like, Red Dead Redemption, hold my beer. You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, just wait a couple of weeks and it's probably going to get blown out of the water. And even if I adore Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I think it's fair to say that Red Dead Redemption 2 is probably going to be the new benchmark. Rockstar's disturbing attention to detail is going to be there. I mean, I think they're going to flex their might on this one.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we will find out. So, before then, there was a little leaky thing, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
I don't know if people have been on the internet in the past week, but there was a very magical-looking leak that happened earlier this week. So, obviously, I'm hinting at Harry Potter.
Yes.
And this is, I think we'll spend a good chunk of our day here discussing this Harry Potter leak. You've seen at least part of it?
Yeah, part of it.
Okay.
I'm refreshing my memory now.
Perfect. I might do that as well. But originally it was leaked, and no one was really sure what was going on. So the story is some Reddit user, I forget his name now, it's probably not important, I don't want him to get like the feds kicked down his door. So
I have his name.
You have his name.
Yeah.
So he was in a mall, apparently, he or she, I don't think it's revealed. They were in a mall, and they were approached by someone from Warner Brothers, who said, hey, we'd like you to take a look at this game and tell me what you think. And they probably had to sign an NDA.
Yeah.
And they were told no phones or photography, but they didn't confiscate them. So this Reddit user, being a cheeky little boy, totally videotaped it and released it online. And it was rapidly taken down by Warner Brothers. And the speed and viciousness of the takedown has led everybody on planet Earth to think, this seems pretty legit.
Yeah.
And it does look good. Like, everyone's seen fakes, like fake Pokemon things or fake Harry Potter things where it looks terrible, like what someone animated. This looks legit. This looks AAA. And originally people were thinking it is Rockstar. Or not Rockstar, Rocksteady. Yeah. Sorry, the creators of the Arkham series.
Yes.
Who've been out of commission for 3 years after making Batman Arkham
Perhaps
Knight.
Perhaps doing this,
but the theory is that they're doing a Superman game, but then someone looked and found that Avalanche Studios, a Swedish studio, I believe they're Swedish.
I'm on it.
Yeah, they made, I'm blanking on the name of them now. They've made, like, big open world games before, and they, a few years ago, made a casting call, or like a, not necessarily a casting call, but they were looking for writers who had a deep understanding of British culture and lore.
So they made the Just Cause series.
So Just Cause series.
And you're right, they are Swedish.
Yeah. So that's
a good hint.
Yes, so that's made a lot of people think, here's a AAA developer that's been out of commission for a while and was doing a casting call for this type of thing. And if you look at the very brief footage, there is some destruction. That's what happens in the footage. So this has led people to believe that it is the real deal. Now, I'm going to read a little bit of a blurb of all we know. But first, what were your initial impressions of the Harry Potter?
I mean, when it was first announced, I'll say that I was skeptical, mostly because, you know, we played the mobile game and we saw how that went.
Yeah.
And that's apparently been updated, but I don't care.
And supposedly Niantic has been commissioned to make a mobile game, too.
Yeah.
the Pokemon Go people.
But if this is all it's pretending to be, I am super excited. Because there hasn't really been a really good Harry Potter game. Like, the ones on the PS4 that came out, or not the PS4, the PS1 that came out with the movies were okay.
They were serviceable.
Yeah.
Apparently there was a Quidditch game.
Oh, I didn't know that. And then, and the Lego Harry Potter ones were kind of funny, too. But that's just because Lego most anything is okay.
Yeah, but not a good... I mean, I don't want to say not a faithful representation, because I'm sure they did okay.
They were
pretty
faithful.
It's not what people were looking for. I mean, we've talked about it here that what we thought people were looking for was like a Sims thing.
Yeah.
And so this game seems to have taken a hard left at that idea.
Yes.
And so that might divide some people. But by sheer coincidence, you're wearing a Harry Potter shirt.
Yes, I am.
So clearly you're a Harry Potter super fan.
Well, it's mostly because of what we're doing tonight, but yes.
Aha, there you go. So I'm going to read the little blurb that was released by the Redditor, okay?
Please do.
Here we go. Set in the 19th century, and they put in brackets 1800s.
So in case you hadn't figured that out.
I don't trust people to figure that out. Wizarding World. So the theory is that it's called either Wizarding World or Harry Potter, but the working title is Magic Awakened.
Okay.
That's what we think it is. Wizarding World. Set in the 19th century's Wizarding World. This third-person open-world action RPG centers around your character with unique abilities who has earned a late acceptance to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. I'll pause right here. Does that happen? Did they talk about that in the books?
I'm trying to think if there's been a late addition. Like, I mean, I imagine it must, right? There must be some people who...
just like high school, some people come in.
Yeah, some people who must be coming in late, because you're a fifth year, so you're quite old.
Yeah, I'll finish this paragraph here. Actually, you're a newly arrived fifth year student to Hogwarts that has demonstrated a latent gift for magic with unique ability to track and identify remnants of potent ancient power.
That sounds like fun.
Isn't that what the gist of the? Isn't that what the story of? Isn't that what the story of... we're being told that apparently not a lot of characters come in late. First of all, just got a little blurb here. But yeah, apparently it's uncommon, but I'm okay with them like bending the rules.
Yeah, I'm also being told that doesn't generally happen.
That doesn't generally happen. But I'm kind of nervous about this ancient power, actually. How powerful can it be that it's, A, not referred to in any of the movies or the books?
Yeah.
And I thought that was sort of the... general story of the mobile game, no? That you were, like, looking for an ancient thing?
That's true. Well, and that was... You were kind of tracking down your brother who had already gone looking for the ancient thing.
Yeah. So in this one, you're not.
Yeah.
So basically, you're a magical... You
seem to be kind of a magical prodigy.
Magical prodigy.
Because it seems... Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. It's like, if you're going to be the main character in one of these games... You kind of got to be a special snowflake in some way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are you the main character?
Exactly. I still want there to be a Harry Potter-styled Sims-ish game.
Yeah.
I don't think that dream dies. I can see this as a stepping stone to get that. And that's why I get that you're coming in at fifth year.
Yeah.
Because this, if you want the game where you have to like slowly learn how to do like Alohomora and whatever, that's not this game.
No.
This game wants you to jump you in and do something in that world. They don't want to build up.
Yeah.
So that game might still come.
I've realized the more we talk about Harry Potter as The Sims, I realize what I actually want is a Harry Potter tycoon game.
Yeah.
I want to run Hogwarts as a tycoon. That would be so much fun.
That would be fun. All right, I'll keep reading. Upon arrival, strange events begin to materialize in the Forbidden Forest, and trouble begins to brew within the castle walls. Together with Professor Eleazar Figg, you embark on a journey through both familiar and never-before-seen locations to bring to light the truth behind these mysterious occurrences. On your quest, you will craft potions, master new spells, and discover fantastic beasts. Definitely not a coincidence, the wording of that last one.
Yeah, no kidding.
You will battle dark wizards, goblins, and other supernatural enemies and uncover the truth about your destiny. The fate of the wizarding world lies in your hands. So, they seem to be kind of separating themselves from the word Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Double use of the word wizarding world there. So we'll stop again there. What do you think of... So that's kind of like the story thing. So basically you're going to be digging away at... And I would imagine with wizards, like, I don't know a lot about it. And I imagine we'll have a friend of the show chime in here momentarily with what we should be thinking. But Isn't Merlin the first wizard in this
mythology? He went to Hogwarts.
Oh.
Yeah, Merlin went to Hogwarts. I didn't need my secondary help for that. I knew that one. Merlin was a Slytherin.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, like, what, like, if this is set in the 1800s and Hogwarts is set in the, or, like, Harry Potter's set in the 1990s, obviously.
Yeah.
When was Hogwarts founded? How old is Hogwarts?
A thousand years old. Yeah.
And when did Merlin, when was Merlin? Wasn't he about 1,000 years ago?
We just looked this up.
It wasn't real, obviously, but.
I think it's about something like the 1300s. Like, it's in wherever the Middle Ages is.
Okay, so we can have the guy in the chair double check that for us and get back to us.
Yeah.
So, but there is room in this mythology, at least, for there to be an ancient power.
Yeah.
And there's certainly a long line of...
1500s, I've been told.
1500s. There's certainly a long line of wizards to deal with here.
Yeah. So
what's the earliest wizard known? Do we know? Is it sort of like X-Men? Where it goes back to like...
the first one?
Yeah, that was like a first one, you know, in ancient Egypt. Somebody made like... Maybe that's how they made the pyramids. Someone like they made something like...
A wizarding version of Apocalypse, perhaps?
Yeah. Actually, Harry Potter and X-Men are awfully similar, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Hmm. But no one wants an X-Men Sims game.
I want an X-Men.
Why not?
Sims game.
Now I do. Yeah. I didn't think about that until just now.
So I am being told that Merlin was one of the first batch of students in the 1000s. So by the time, presumably, King Arthur rolls around, he's already an old man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now realizing we should have brought one of our supporting guests on the show.
We should have brought our guy, in this case, girl in the chair. Okay, so let's do these features here. Obviously. Yeah. Journey to Hogwarts to become one of 8 different types of wizards, so classes. They probably don't want to use the word classes because you're going to school. But yeah, that's interesting. Like, I wonder what that's going to be. Like, do you do more, like, I guess potions master or like...
Yeah, maybe a specialty in
dark
type
arts
of magic.
Fighter, or maybe you're really good with transfiguration.
Yeah, something like that. And there are precedents for that, right? We know certain characters are good at certain things.
Yeah.
So... that's not a surprise.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what that becomes. Experience Hogwarts and make new friends, uncover new secrets, and change the fate of the wizarding world. Sure.
Okay.
I think the most important part of that one was the first two words, experience Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a second here. Experience a new magic system that creates countless possibilities to master magic. Sounds like you're going to be combining stuff.
Yeah. Maybe you get to make your own spells.
We don't know anything about the new magic system, but countless possibilities implies mix and match to me.
Yeah,
that's what it says to my head. Freely explore the wizarding world for the first time. Okay.
Okay.
Neat.
In the 1800s, but still.
That's right, yeah.
I wonder if Hogsmeade was a thing in the
1800s. Choose your house and friends at Hogwarts and decide a path for good or evil. Create your own witch or wizard and experience an all-new story separate from the books or films.
Well, yeah, because it predates them by 100 years.
Yes, so that's what we have. So, a lot of that stuff was pretty obvious. There is some... I really liked... how can I phrase this? Similar to Superman Returns, which is a terrible game,
yeah.
But I like the flying.
Yeah.
I played, I think, Harry Potter 5 for the Wii, and the game is poorly made. And I think the people who make it would admit it.
Yeah.
But it was the first, like, it was a new generation console with, like, huge air quotes.
Yeah.
Where you could roam around Hogwarts. And I remember having a blast just running around Hogwarts. I didn't give a crap what the rest of the stuff was.
Yeah.
So it's very telling, in my mind, that they emphasized twice...
that you'll get to explore Hogwarts?
You'll be running around Hogwarts. Yeah. So does any of those features speak out to you?
Well, that one is certainly great. I love the idea because Hogwarts there's so much to it. Mm-hmm. You can just run around and like you can discover things. Maybe you can stumble on the Room of Requirement. That'd be kind of cool. I don't know how they program that, but whatever. But one thing, like as a proper Harry Potter nerd, one of the things that always annoys me is when you're allowed to choose your house. I was just
about to ask about that, yeah.
Having said that, the only thing worse than putting the four founders or the four houses up on screen and saying pick one is having a 2-question quiz that goes, do you brush your teeth with courage, with dignity, with brains, or with evil? So like the only thing worse than no quiz at all is an obvious quiz. So I guess If those are my options, I'll take just pick one.
Yeah, we'll see what the word choose means, but I think this is like the one fandom, and I think Matt was kind of anti-choose too, and I know that it's like a lot of people, it's a big deal to get sorted by the hat.
Yeah.
But I think so many fans of Harry Potter know what house they're in.
That's
like
true.
The first thing you do is you just figure out what house you're in. So it's like, why make the game choose and hope that it's going to pick the right one when you know the right one?
Well, maybe you're not going to play yourself. I mean, most people probably will, at least in the first playthrough.
Yeah.
But on subsequent ones, maybe you're just like, I'm going to, you know, role play someone specific and I'm going to hope that I get the...
Well, that's what I mean. But if you're role-playing someone specific, you probably have an idea. Like, this is going to be... Well, if I'm a Gryffindor, and the next one I'm going to be like, what if I went like a super, like, classic wizard? Like, kind of like... No, I was about to say Merlin, but apparently he's not. but just like the classic wizard up in the tower, like, just reading books all day, doesn't do anything else. The classic, like, D&D wizard.
Yeah.
High intelligence, nothing else. Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
And I know he's a Ravenclaw. And then, for whatever reason, I pick the wrong choice and he ends up in, like, Hufflepuff. I'm like, that doesn't fit my headcanon.
Yeah.
So stuff like that means I'm not too bothered by it.
I think a neat thing to do that I've sort of seen before is instead of, like, they definitely should have the ceremony of you walk into the room, somebody puts a hat on your head, which is hilarious because you're 15 and everyone around you is 11.
Yeah.
So that would be really funny.
16, right?
Or,
no, 15. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it lines up. First year, you're 11. The digit's the same. But anyway, you walk into the room, you put the hat on, and it tells you something. And even if that is just that, if there's no quiz on the moment, but in, like, the prologue, you got chances to make decisions that actually reflected the way you should go. So that would be kind of cool. Because there are good and bad things about every house. And it'd be nice to see that reflected both ways. Because usually, like, one of the big problems with the way that most Harry Potter is represented is that there's not a lot of nuance in that you usually, when someone's Gryffindor, the things you think of are positive, right? They're brave and they're, I was going to say courageous, but that's just brave again. But they're brave and they're
bold,
honest.
Yeah,
brave and they're bold and they're honest. But they're also reckless and often kind of dumb. So that's, like, there are negative traits to all houses. So it'd be nice to see if that came into it,
something too. Something to balance out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to think of some of the other things. I'm totally lost on the magic system. I'm not sure what it's going to be. You don't really see a lot of that in the footage, and I'm trying to pull up the footage, but of course, the thing that I had pulled up has been removed by Warner Brothers.
Naturally.
And that's one of the things that people are pointing at, too. Like, they're removing it with such authority that it
kind of has to be legit,
kind of has
right?
to be real, yeah. Because they're clearly so angry about it. I'm just looking like a Harry Potter leak.
Well, while you're looking that up, I've been corrected again, and I know I'll get yelled at if I don't correct this on air.
Feel free.
If your birthday is before September, you're 11 in your first year, because Hermione, with a late birthday, was 12. So now, you don't have to write into the show. We fixed it.
Please don't. Okay, so I can't find total footage, but I have found some screenshots. The first one of what looks to be just Hogwarts. And the second one looks to be running into a dragon thing, a very ancient-looking dragon. And then there's a screenshot of the wizard creation system, which looks...
Like a character creation system?
Like a character creation system should. And then there's another one where you're clearly exploring a wall and you just made a wall explode. And in the top corner, you have Lumos, Alohomora, and Reparo all mapped to control buttons.
Okay, so you learn skills, or spells, rather, that you can just do.
Yeah, so you'll definitely have spells that you can have kind of on hand. And the last one is of a potions class. So I do hope, despite what they're doing here, I do hope that they still have the school year.
Yeah.
I can understand that you don't want to do it like baby's first magic lesson, but I think that's...
give me fifth year. Like, because those, like, all the spells you listed are stuff you learn in year one and year two.
Yeah.
Like, depending on your personal level of magical skill. So that's that, like, that's your staples, right? That's your standard attack button, basically.
Yeah.
And so it would make sense if the more complex spells were something separate from that.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the more complete footage here, but of course it's all been meticulously, scrubbed from the internet. By Warner Brothers here. Which is probably not, I mean, it's their stuff, and this guy This guy probably shouldn't have done what he did, but he did, yeah. And now the world knows, and there's no going back. You cannot get the toothpaste
back into the tube.
Back into the tube. It does not go like that. I'm sorry. And by trying to get rid of something, you're just ensuring that everybody on planet Earth is good looking at it.
What's it called? The Streisand effect. That's
yeah,
the one.
Yeah, Streisand, or the more recently, the Beyonce effect.
Yes.
Get that picture off there. Okay. Can't find the footage, but I think both of us watched it a few times. It looked like AAA. Like you, it looked like you killed a goblin, to be honest. Didn't you like smash a goblin through a door?
Something like that.
And Avalanche Studios, I looked up a little bit there. I haven't played any of their games. I think I rented Mad Max once.
Yeah.
But I'm not like a super Avalanche aficionado. I was about to say a super Avalanche fan, but I actually am a fan of the Colorado Avalanche. So, but I have heard good things about the Just Cause series, and what they're known for is big, beautiful, destructible environments.
Yep.
And
which fits really well here.
I think that's probably why they were tapped on the shoulder by Warner Bros. To make this. They seemed like a good choice.
And Just Cause 2 was Yahtzee's game of the year it came out.
There you go.
So
they are liked.
The most unpleasable man in game criticism picked that one.
The most strangely pleasable man.
Yeah. Well, the way he described it was really good. It stuck out at me because he's like, there were only two games that year that he wanted to keep playing after he'd reviewed them. So it wasn't just that he enjoyed the game. It was that once he's done it for his job, he wants to play it some more.
Yeah.
And for someone who plays a 52 game plus games a year, that's quite the achievement. So, and it has a 9 out of 10 on Steam.
There you go. So it is well liked. Yeah. So it looks like it's a good studio. They seem to have gotten a lot of stuff right. And I think it was a conscious choice to avoid making Hogwarts Simulator.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to run around Hogwarts, maybe do some fifth-year stuff, but that's not going to be the focus of the game. And to be honest, and we'll move on from that in just 1 second, I'm actually going to play some commercials, but I think that Warner Bros. Has no idea what they're doing with the license.
I think that's been clear from their movies lately, so...
Yes, so... Ooh, the shot's fired. But where I'm going with this is, I saw a few people talking about it, and I totally agree. Why the heck were you focus testing this game? You don't need to drum up hype for a Harry Potter game. Like, were they showing this in this... The idea is that they were showing it in the mall to see if people were interested. Everybody's going to be interested. Why would you... It doesn't make any sense that you would possibly want to know this. But that would... Them being ignorant to something like that lines up with why they haven't made it. Well, we're not sure if it would sell, you know. Maybe people just want it, but they don't actually want it.
They're making five movies out of a textbook.
Yeah, movies they feel confident on. But I think they haven't had... They're worried about the success of the games.
Yeah.
And they probably don't want to release another dud, because then similar to the Amazing Spider-Man versions of the movies, if you release enough duds, people lose interest in
the
brand.
The brand, yes. That's the word.
So I think that's probably what they don't want to do. But if you're wondering why they haven't made that Harry Potter game that everyone wants, I don't think they have faith in it.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe none of them have caught on. And maybe this game will change it. Maybe if it comes out and it's a big hit, then they're like, oh, we could make money off of this license, and then we'll get 30 of them.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe you commission another studio to make some sort of more simulation type game. Because like it says action RPG.
Yeah.
I think that's what you expected, but it's not a simulation.
No.
So.
And I think this is like the time period is definitely the right decision. Get us completely removed from the series.
It's got such a long history, and the technology hasn't changed. Get away from Harry.
Yeah. Get as far away. Get away from everyone we know.
Well, there are long houses, right? Like the Blacks have been around for a while. So you might run into somebody in some family tree.
Yeah.
But certainly no one you've ever met before. That is so smart.
Yeah. So that'll be, that's definitely the right decision.
Yeah.
So, it sort of depends on when they set it in the 1800s, because if it's really late 1800s, because I'm pretty sure Dumbledore was over 100 when he died, so.
Yeah, you might run into a young Dumbledore. Actually, that would be pretty cool.
Or his parents.
Papa and Mama Dumbledore.
I want to say like 115, but I'm sure my woman in the chair will shortly correct me.
Yeah, we'll get corrected on that. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play some commercials, pay some bills. But once again, you are listening to Game Over. There's no TV Talkers this week. They'll be returning next week for a special Pledgerama episode. But this week, it's just us doing a full hour-long episode, and we're going to be talking about the brand new game which just came out last week.
Yeah.
That we've played very little of because it was a pretty busy family weekend. So we're going to be talking about that, so stay tuned. A couple commercials coming your way, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. Oh, jeez.
Had to let my friends speak.
Apologies to the headphone users out there. That was... He just popped back in there, didn't he?
Yep.
Why not? Let him know you're here. That's great. So, we just finished talking about Nintendo Switch and Harry Potter and all that jazz. We're excited about it. But there is an actual game that came out that we can talk about.
Yeah.
And by the reviews accounts, it seems like it's pretty good. Assassin's Creed Odyssey has come out, and we've played very little. So it's going to be just first impressions, primarily. But we can tell you a little bit. So it, first of all, it's the big thing about this one, the fact that it's different from the other ones, is this is an RPG. Origins was already skirting the line between RPG and regular, and this one is like, yeah, it's an RPG.
Yeah.
And even in the first moments, the other thing that's different about it from Origins is there's no shields. You're not blocking in this game.
Yeah.
This is Bloodborne to Origins Dark Souls. Okay.
Yes.
And I like how they indicate that. You play the very beginning, and you're playing as Leonidas, and he throws away his shield.
Yeah.
So
all
it's like,
spear, all the time.
You won't need this in this game. You will be using this as shield, even though other characters will be. So the story of the game is you play as the grandchild of Leonidas, I believe.
Yeah.
So Leonidas died at the Battle of Thermopylae. Is that my pronunciation?
Yeah, I think
right?
That's right.
Yeah. Died at the Battle of Thermopylae, and you start off by seeing Leonidas talking to his general at the battle, and he's just kind of like looking out at the army.
Persian ships coming
in. And he's like, did you ever go fishing with your son? No, I was a man of war. I wish to go fishing with my son. And he puts on his helmet, and they're right there. Or I think it was the second speech that he gives, where like he literally finishes giving the speech to his men.
And then turn around,
and the fight is on. I'm like, what a great time speech, Leo.
Jesus.
Cutting it close.
No kidding.
So yeah, you start off, I love it when games do this, you start off as a fully powered, like level 50 Leonidas.
Yeah.
You have all the powers, you don't know what they do, but button mashing is effective. You can run around and Leonidas and kind of dominate the battlefield. First of all, what did you think of that opening? Was it effective for you?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, the one thing that's kind of interesting is that I've never been sold on being part of stories where I know how they're going to end. And it's like, with the Battle of Thermopylae, he's like, yeah, I know how this goes.
Yeah,
it doesn't end well.
They don't linger on him for long.
Yeah. But, it was good. Just a nice tutorial of how to stab. And it's nice to see this spear that we know we're going to use.
Yeah, the spear, it comes back later. I think it's supposed to be a first civilization spear that Leonidas had.
Yeah, it's some sort of magical relic.
That's why it's special for you. But to be honest, I stopped caring about their real life story years ago.
Yeah.
And I think kind of so did they.
Poor Desmond.
He's dead. Super dead. Doesn't matter which way. It seemed like there was going to be a choice at the end, and then there wasn't. I'm still a little bit bitter about that, but we'll move on. Anyway, and then I think you're popped into the real world. You talk to Layla.
Yeah.
Right? And Dr. Bibo. And they found the spear. It's broken, probably now. And then they're going into the DNA of the spear to figure out who used to own it, and there's two sources of DNA on it. There is a male, Alexios, and a female, Cassandra. And so you can choose either one. So they're in multiple Assassin's Creed games. I think in a couple of the mobile games you could play as a girl. In Syndicate, you could play as a boy and a girl together. You could swap.
Yeah.
And then in Origins, you played mostly as a boy and then a little bit as a girl. She was there.
Yeah.
Aya was a character. But this one, you play the entire game as one and you get to pick it at the very beginning. There's been a lot of compliments for Cassandra's character, the voice actors. And not a lot of confidence for Alexios' voice. As playing with him for a few hours, he does sound pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll get used to it, but I know there's a lot of people out there, even dudes, who play as girls in games for whatever reason. I'm sure some people picked it because they heard the voice actress was better, or people who played FemShep. But when I play a game like this, at least the first time, it's me. And I'm in ancient Greece, and for whatever reason, my name isn't Simon, it's Alexios, and I'm the grandson of Leonidas. But I'm trying to, like, insert myself into the game.
Yeah.
And to play as someone who's not me, or who I can't pretend myself to be, I can't do it. It takes me out of it. And so, pretending I'm in ancient Greece is more believable than pretending I'm a woman in ancient Greece.
I'm kind of in the same boat, only I don't have the problem if you don't give me the choice. Like, I can play Tomb Raider just fine because the only option is Lara Croft. And I'm like, totally correct. Fine. But if you actively make me choose a character, first time, 90% of the time, I'm going to pick the boy.
I guess that's because when they don't give you the choice, like in Tomb Raider or Horizon Zero Dawn, that's a good point. I have no problem with doing that, too. Yeah. Or Portal.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another game. I feel like we just played a major game. Metroid, obviously.
Yeah.
I feel like there's another one, a huge one that we're missing. It doesn't matter. That's a good point, though. But a lot of these RPGs, like if it's an RPG and you're choosing your own dialogue and you're choosing what you do and who you talk to and stuff like that, it's about choice. The first choice is that it's you.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so that's a big thing. And the only time I've actively gone away from that, I think, was Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
Because you play Dishonored 1 as Corvo, and then Dishonored 2 comes up. Clearly, the correct story decision is to now play as Emily, I think her name is. Yeah. And it, like, that was... Because I went back and I started that game again to try it as Corvo, and I'm like, this is just Dishonored 1 again.
Yeah, I want something different.
Yeah, so... But yeah. That's so we both picked Alexios, at least for now.
Yeah, we both picked Alexios, at least for the first playthrough, and we'll see if we do subsequent playthroughs, if we draw Cassandra. Yeah, so then you can... Well... I was going to say something like that, but now it's just kind of floated out of my brain. It doesn't matter. So you just start off as Alexios. I think functionally... I remember what I was going to say. So similar to his Mass Effect. Weird that I couldn't say that word. Mass Effect Andromeda made a big deal right away, like even before the game came out. Your sibling is in the game.
Yeah. In the cryopod or whatever.
In the cryopod. And eventually they come out, but neither of us ever got that far because we don't like that game.
No.
But... it was a mystery in this one if your sibling was in the game. They said you'd get to choose between the other one, and they were kind of mums the word on if they were included in the story. I don't know how far you've gotten, but the fact that there's two DNA sources on there means they're both in the game.
Yeah, they must both be alive.
Yes, or were alive at some point. So at the point in the game where I've gotten, and I haven't gotten off Tutorial Island, but I saw a little... whoever you play as is the older of the two siblings.
Okay.
And so if you're Alexios, then Cassandra's younger than you, and if you're Cassandra, then Alexios is younger than you.
All right.
But they're both around.
Right.
So presumably they're somewhere else. I think you have a backstory where you were raised by Spartans and then kicked off, and then you moved to Athens for a while. I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah.
We're still on the tutorial island, Philopinos, something like that. I don't know. Can't pronounce it. It's long and it's Greek and it's complicated and there's a lot of words being thrown around, okay?
Very true.
The only word that I really need to know is the name of your horse, whose name is Phobos, and I just love saying it. I've literally walked around
Phobos?
Like, Phobos. Yeah.
Is that your horse? The name of a Greek god?
Probably. Phobos. Well, look it up. Phobos. Or is it just the name of your horse? It means fear. Personification of fear in ancient mythology.
There,
why is your
see?
Horse name
Told
Fear?
So.
That's unusual. Whatever. It's just fun to say. Phobos. Get over here. Phobos. Like it. Anyway, so how far have you played?
Let's put it this way. I've experienced the game for about 2 hours, of which an hour and 45 minutes were technical difficulties.
It was pretty
So,
rough.
My first impressions are not good, Assassin's Creed. Now... That might be the Xbox.
We were
fault.
Having Xbox issues. Yeah.
Apparently Phobos was Aphrodite and Ares' son.
Yeah.
So I was right. He was
offspring of Aphrodite, personification of fear.
There we go. Anyway, I knew that was a name I knew.
Aphrodite. I think I said Aphrodaries.
Aphrodite. I mean,
yeah, it's like Bennifer.
Yeah. Sure. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point of it being. I've done the Leonidas fight twice now.
Uh-huh.
Because, and this is sort of the big controversial thing, right? Is the grinding versus do I want to pay another third of this game's cost?
Okay, you may have seen reports out there, and I bit the bullet on this when I incurred the cost for the good of mankind. But apparently this game involves a lot of grinding. So first of all, it's a long game. That's what everyone says. This is a long game. And I'm a really big fan of the Game Informer podcast lately, actually. And I was listening to them talk about it. And one guy had played 42 hours and not gotten to Athens, which they all laughed at as, like, the game rushes you to Athens.
Yeah.
So clearly there's enough time for you to faff around.
Yeah.
But we're both just at a point in our lives where it's like, I don't have faffing time. We got to get this.
I spent my faffing time on Spider-Man.
Exactly. We're on the clock. Spider-Man and God of War faffed a fair amount in both of those. Assassin's Creed, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out soon. We gotta pick up the pace here. So you can go into the Ubisoft store, and it's not a microtransaction, only because it's a macro transaction. And you can go to a section called Time Savers, where you can buy chunks of resources, and then you can actually buy an EXP boost, where the game will level up and get money. You can buy them individually, or you can buy them both together, which is what I did. And you will go gain resources at, I think, 50% normal speed.
You mean 150% normal speed?
Sorry, yeah, plus 50%. Yeah. You will add 50% to your normal speed, 1.5. So, I'm kind of interested to see how you think about that, because that's basically the game making you pay to cheat. But I have mixed feelings, because on one hand, it's like, you're getting more money for me to play your game. But on the other hand, it's like, the game, as it is, reviewers have played it and loved it. The game clearly functions the way it is. But it's also understanding, as a lot of games that I haven't finished don't, seemingly, I don't have a lot of time. And helping me accelerate through the game might actually give this game more staying power. So I'm kind of torn. What do you think about that?
I am overwhelmingly negative.
Wow.
This is a terrible thing and should not be here. Because I think, and the reason is because I am much more cynical about this than you are. Because when I hear you can pay me $20 more...
Yeah.
To make the game run it 1.5 times faster, is what that means is that you are giving me the base game in a suboptimal state.
Hmm.
Because the base game should be the 1.5 times faster. If that could be the thing, then that's how it should be played. You are artificially slowing it down to get more money out of me, and I hate that. And if you hadn't bought it, and I'd be like, okay, for basically no extra work, I can play it 1.5 speed,
yeah.
I'm not giving them any more money.
Interesting. Well, first of all, I pay for the game.
Yeah.
So you're welcome. But you and I, this is always where we find a crossroads, because we can look at, like, it's like the cup half empty versus half full is really what it is. And I'm like, there's room to fill up that cup more. We could get more water in there. And you're like, how dare you give me a half-empty cup? You, the nerve of you.
If you're going to charge me $60, the cup had better be full.
First of all, it's 90.
That's even worse.
But the good news is it came with a ring.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, sweet. I walked into EB Games to buy it, and the guy was like, okay, here's your game. Do you want death, fear, or agony? I'm like,
what?
In general? I guess death, because I could die happy. And then he gave me a ring with a sigil for death on it. And I have that now. That's in my life now.
What?
But yeah, no buttering it up, no
Jesus.
No easing the in, no dipping the toe in the water, just you want death, fear, agony. And they didn't know what they looked like, too. I was like, what does it look like? Well, we don't know.
Oh, my God.
Weird. Okay. Death, fear, agony. So, yeah. Because I think the game clearly could run in its normal state. Like, you say suboptimal, but it's like with The Witcher. Okay? Now, The Witcher is perfection. Or let's take a game that I haven't finished. I'm sure there's a couple games that you haven't finished. But a game for me that I haven't finished is Metal Gear Solid.
Right. Oh, I haven't finished that either.
Yeah, exactly. Haven't finished Metal Gear Solid 5. Liked it a lot when I was playing it, but just other things came up, and yeah. I tried to go back to it a few weeks ago. Didn't have any luck. I was kind of too far back, and there's a ton of resources. I was about to say a bleep ton, but yeah. There's a bleep ton of resources in that game. It more than a ton. It needs the expletive to describe the sheer amount of resources.
A metric
you need to play
bleep
that.
Ton.
That's right. Not imperial. Metric. Ton. T-O-N-N-E.
Yes.
Not T-O-N. There's a lot of resources in that game, and I was just too far behind, and I kind of got lost and couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier, I think my exact quote was now, I'm at a point in my life, I've got a new job, my time is more valuable than my money. So yeah. Formerly, when I was just working a bunch of part-time jobs, as a lot of students probably are, you got time. So if you got time to go out and play the game for 10 more hours than I do in order to get to the same resources, power to you. But I can see someone like me who's working a full-time job and other ones, or if you have kids and time is optimal, it's like I have 4 hours a week to game. I have no grinding time. If you look at it in that mode, that's where I'm not mad at. I'm mad at the price. I think it was steep.
$20?
I think $5 is fair.
I paid $5.
And to be honest, I accidentally paid too much because it was 1,500 Helix credits.
Yeah.
But you couldn't buy 1,500 Helix credits. You had to buy like 1,050 and 500 as separate transactions. But the thing was so slow that I pressed buy, nothing happened. I pressed buy again, it charged me twice.
So you bought $2,000.
So I ended up spending, $30. So I spent $120 in this game already and played like an hour and a half. So I usually go by the
$1 per hour.
Yeah, $1 per minute so far. I need to literally go 60 times. Play, boom. Hey, well, I got a headache. I shouldn't have said that out loud. I shouldn't have materialized those thoughts. I gotta get going. I gotta get my money's worth. I gotta get Random Redemption's coming out. Oh man, I want the special edition for that too.
Well, but okay. So, but to return to the point,
yeah,
I think one of the things that, like, the thing that frustrates me, and I agree, if it had been $5, I'd probably be less angry at it.
Yeah,
but one of the things that irritates me is that an action RPG does not need grind. Grind is for MMOs, but where you want to keep people playing it forever.
I think it's more RPG than action this time, though.
But even then, like the Spider-Man game we just played was an RPG. You had a skill tree. You had a lot of abilities to upgrade.
Technically, yeah.
And you know how much grinding I did in Spider-Man? Zero.
Well, I mean, by your extraordinarily loose definition of RPG, literally any game is an RPG because you're playing the role of the character.
If it has an upgrade element, it's an RPG. And Spider-Man had a lot of upgrade. That's what defines an RPG, is that you can make choices about how you progress your character.
Boy, that's an awfully big bubble. In the slimmest terms, I think it's an action game with RPG elements.
Okay,
but there's
fine.
No dialogue choices, there's no story choices, there's none of that, you're just choosing...
Yeah, but none of those things impact whether or not it has grind. It's experience that makes an RPG, and
right.
That's where the grinding comes
right, but
in.
That, all that kind of... Like in Spider-Man, if you're playing that game properly, you finish leveling up before the game is done. In an RPG, I think you kind of... There should be some sort of limiting factor in RPG of... And that's why you need... Not necessarily grind, okay, I'm not defending grind here, but that's why you need different resources, because you shouldn't be able to get everything. So if you want to upgrade more in one direction than another, like in a Skyrim, for example,
yeah,
or Dragon Age, something like that, then you focus on acquiring those resources. That's how it was in Origin. So it's like, if you want to upgrade your Hidden Blade, you better hunt down carts with iron ore in them. And to be honest, in Origins, I did that for a long time because I had the time for it.
Yeah.
I still don't even think I've finished maxing out. So... Yeah, I have a problem with the price, but not necessarily with the grind. I can understand why. I mean, Pokemon. You grind in Pokemon. You have to raise.
I mean, that's true.
You call it raising and breeding. Yeah. I could call it grinding. That's really all it is.
Yeah, but I don't have to. People play Pokemon without grinding. I just don't.
Well, I'm sure you could survive the game if you didn't. Now, we'll move on from this point because I'm not sure if either of us are going to budge. But I'm still kind of on the fence. I think it was too much, but I know I'm going to get more fun out of it this way. It's a cheap trick, sure, but I'm just going to enjoy it more this way. So I didn't mind, and I'm not going to I'm not going to starve tonight because I spent the extra $20 getting the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But one thing I don't like, controversial. That they're the enemies scale up. They don't scale down. They scale up. So if you go into an area where it's, like in the beginning area, you get hunted by a mercenary. In the past ones, they were called like Falakis or something like that.
No.
But in this one, you get hunted by mercenaries. And the first mercenary you run into, when you were like level 2, he's level 5. Yeah. And if you try to fight him, you'll get your butt kicked. It's not even close.
Right.
And you can run into him when he's level 5. But there are missions that I had level 2, but I leveled up.
Right.
In order to fight this guy, I was doing the other missions. And in an RPG, I kind of like to overlevel and then spank through an area.
Yeah.
But in this one, if you're level 4 or level 5, they become level 4 and level 5. The enemies scale up. So I think the idea is that you have a constant sense of danger, that you never are just able to, you know, walk through an area without any trouble. But if you're going to spend the time to grind and level up and do all you have to do to be able to, I like it. It's
yeah,
a it's a feature
that
I like too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that at all either.
So that's the one feature that I'm
I mean, I haven't got
that
yet,
young.
But yeah, that does not sound appealing.
Did you have time to do any of the dialogue choices?
I did one.
Very few.
Let me put this to you this way, because you'll understand. I had that first fight you have at the start. I had the conversation after it. And when he's like, I gotta go get dressed, I had to leave.
I was sure those guys were dead.
So was I.
Yeah, the guys, I'm like, he killed those dudes, didn't he? And then they get up and you're like, what?
So okay. I let him go.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. You had the first choice to be. Yeah. Now, this game also has announced that they're going to have, it has branching endings. I think it's got three endings. It's got multiple endings. So it depends on how you play. And they've announced several times that you can kill characters off and then they won't appear later. So maybe like a character, if you killed him off now, he had a quest later, and if you die, then you won't be able to do it. They're also, if you start a quest and it says, like, I'll pay you, like, 500 gold for this holy sword, and you're like, I don't trust you. You can go and find the sword. Like, items are in the world anyway.
Oh, that's
and so you
cool.
might stumble
I like
and find
that.
Them. And then there's a new system, which I'm trying, I don't know about you. I think it's toggleable, called the exploration system.
I picked that option.
Yeah. I think that's actually really cool. I do love my waypoints, because I'm very lazy. but the idea of he went to go west from this town and turn like right at the big tree.
Yeah. It turns, I can do that.
Yeah, it turns going. So far, it's pretty easy. I haven't had any trouble following the directions. And it turns going from A to B into a more interesting thing.
So, because now you're just not blindly following a glowing light on the map or something.
Yeah, and if you want to do that, this game has the feature from Origins that returns where you can just press A and your horse will follow a road.
Yeah.
And then you can press, I think, Y. Yeah. And he'll just follow the road to your destination. So wherever you set for him to go, he'll just
go
take you there.
And you can just watch the scenery.
Exactly.
Huh.
So if you need to like text or eat or, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sad that's in there. I think that's a reasonable thing to have.
Yeah, I kind of like the exploration system. So first impressions, positive, negative?
Well,
first
mine are very biased. So.
First impressions of the actual game that you played.
Alexia's voice actor is terrible. And his little female friend is annoying, but combat is fine so far. It feels very Assassin's Creed-y, which is good, because, I mean, all I really wanted from Assassin's Creed ever was to walk from Jerusalem to Damascus and stab everyone I met on the way there. So if I can do that again, but in Greece, I'll be happy. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I've looked at the skill tree. I've upgraded the skill tree a little bit. I really like some of the options. I think you're going to be able to sort of play your own way.
Okay.
And the other thing
that's
is you can
a dangerous
you can respect at any moment.
I like that.
Doesn't it? You don't have to wait for the skill points or whatever. You can respect. I really like that, too. I think more games should do it. It's just, you know.
Because then if you run into a boss where you're like, oh, my build doesn't work for this.
Exactly. Yeah. Just let me play my own way. Yeah. So that's our first impressions of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. We're going to have more to talk to you about next week. We're also going to be asking for your money next week. So start working. Start saving up. Get ready to break the piggy bank. And next week, TV Talkers will return for their regular 5:30 to 6:30 hour. 5:30 to 6:30 half hour. But in the meantime, keep on gaming. Keep on saving for Red Dead Redemption 2. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.